There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
What's the weirdest scenario you have ever woken up to after drinking? Story one. One night, I came home from an event. For some reason, I get really hungry when I'm tired, so I decided to make myself some food. I found a frozen pizza and put it in the oven, on top of some newspaper to avoid making a mess. It seemed logical at that moment. I turned around, slicing up some bacon to put on the pizza. I cut myself while doing this, but I did not notice. I heard a sound, so I turned around. The paper in the oven was burning. This is all I can remember. I woke up to my mom calling out. I was on the floor of my kitchen. Around me was what looked like some kind of unusual food setup. There were ashes and blood in a circle around me. I had apparently tried to put out the burning paper with my hands. Bacon and a halfway done frozen pizza were arranged into something like a mat under me, and for some reason, my pants were halfway down my legs. Story 2. Once in college, early in the morning, we, six-person dorm, were awakened by loud voices in the living room. One person had a missing tooth, another had a broken collarbone. The missing tooth incident happened when one pushed the other into a wall, which re-injured the collarbone. We ended up calling emergency services with a "he fell down the stairs" story. We also found the missing tooth in a glass of milk in the fridge. Another time, much earlier in life, I woke up in the bushes outside a house with one shoe on, late for an interview and covered in mud. Friends picked me up and we went straight to the interview. I could barely talk, had to buy a pair of sandals there, and did not smell great. I got the job. One more. On a trip one summer, some friends and I were out until early in the morning. Feeling exhausted, I decided the bus was a good place to rest. Near our hotel, my friends woke me and told me we had to stop immediately. The first thing I saw was a big red lever on the window. I pulled it and the window pane popped halfway out, which made the bus driver stop. The driver was upset and talking about calling the police. I offered him some money and he agreed to 100 pesos. It was my first time in such a situation. Story 3. I woke up on the couch in the suite room of my friend's college dorm. I heard two adults walking in. My friend's suite mate had felt unwell and called the paramedics on himself. I sat up, stayed still, and watched them examine him and then strap him into a chair to take him out. Nobody acknowledged me. In the morning, I woke up again in the same spot when someone came into the room. It was the suite mate, in a hospital gown with electrodes on his chest. He had left the hospital. Later that day, they came to find him. I was not around and I forget the details, but it was only a minor consequence. He did not get arrested or anything. They probably made him pay for the visit and maybe a fine. It was a state school, and I doubt he was the first or last person to leave the hospital like that. Story 4. In bed with a friend for whom I had no romantic feelings. No pants on, no pants to be found. Wearing a shirt but no undershirt. His mom walked in and said she had my pants, which were wet, so she had dried them. I was still tired and embarrassed that his mother had dried my wet pants when I did not know why they were wet. Did I spill something? Did I sit somewhere wet? I got dressed and went to find my friends. Everyone was sleeping, so I started waking them. I noticed I had cuts on my hands and arms. His mom mentioned that a vase of flowers had been broken. Apparently, I had been moving around quickly, broke the vase, and got my pants wet while also getting cut while trying to clean it up. Neither of us knows how I ended up in his bed. It had been a fun night before I lost memory of it. Story 5. I had just woken up in my apartment after a long evening. I was not feeling well, so I got sick. I took a shower to feel better and accidentally fell asleep on the floor in front of my bathroom. I woke up about an hour later and went to use the toilet. While there, I heard my TV. I did not remember turning it on, but did not think much of it. Suddenly, I heard small footsteps. I looked up and a little boy, about 1 or 2 years old, was standing in my bathroom doorway. When I realized it was real, I noticed the child's nose was running. As the oldest of four kids, I wanted to help. I put on my boxer briefs and walked into my living room. Sitting on my couch was a little girl, about 4 years old. I asked where they came from, and she pointed at my front door. I told them to sit and watch TV while I finished in the bathroom. As I was walking back, there was a knock on the door. Thinking it was their parents, I answered in just underwear. I was greeted by four police officers. Realizing how strange it looked, I quickly said I had just found the kids in my apartment. One officer knew me from my store. Another called their parents, who came and took them. They said thanks, and I shut the door. Story 6. One morning, I woke up to find a piece of buttered bread on my nightstand, uneaten, and another piece, butter side down, on my leg. I gathered my thoughts, moved all the clothes and other items off my bed into a chair, and started looking for my jeans to find my debit card. While searching through the pile, I found a plastic bag I did not recognize. When I looked inside, I found a rotisserie chicken. Story 7. I woke up on a sofa bed in my friend's house after a lively gathering. My head hurt and coffee was needed. I checked to see who was next to me and saw I was alone, which was good since I had a girlfriend. I decided to make coffee. I got up and was surprised by what I saw. Two men I had met the night before were lying down, one on the floor and one on my friend's piano, wearing only underwear. That was unusual, but not the most unusual part. During the evening, they discovered that my friend's table could be taken apart with some force. They had arranged the pieces into a star shape, surrounded by tissue paper, toilet roll holders, a toilet brush, and a curtain rail. In the center was an object, still activated and moving. I stood there trying to understand, then went for coffee and sat back down, staring at it. I wondered what they had been trying to create. Hours later, they woke up with the worst headaches I had ever seen. Story 8. It is summer and the last Harry Potter book has just come out. I am about 30 pages away from finishing it when I realize I am already late for a dinner with friends, so I put in my bookmark and leave it on my bed. At dinner, I have some wine. Next, I go out and continue with more drinks. I am very unsteady. On the way home, I stop by a small shop to get a sports drink so I will not feel too bad the next day. But I get distracted and spend my last $10 on a 3-pack of old-style magazines. I arrive home excited about my recent purchase and prepare for what I think will be a relaxing end to the night. But I quickly turn my attention to Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, with only about 30 pages left to read. I put the magazines aside and start to read, but immediately fall asleep. I wake up with the book open on my chest, tissues and lotion to my side, and the magazines still unopened near my feet, feeling very confused. Story 9. We were having a house party with a new group of friends in celebration of a college event, and none of us had spent an evening like this together before. It was at my house. There were a handful of people that stayed the night, and I let some guests who were feeling unwell stay in my room while I slept on the couch downstairs. In the middle of the night, around 3 in the morning, I woke up and decided to go check on my girlfriend upstairs. As I turned the corner to start walking up the staircase, there was something I had never seen before. You know, about 8 stairs up, a girl with her pants completely off was in a crab walk position, slowly making her way down the stairs. She was moving toward me, leaving a wet trail all the way down the carpet. She was extremely disoriented and barely conscious. She did not remember it the next day, and I had to explain why she needed to help clean the carpet on the staircase. Storytime. 3 years ago, I was an assistant manager for a store in the city where I still live. I worked there for 2 years, and there was a woman who would come in occasionally a couple of times a year to buy things from our store because there was not one near her home. I never tried to pursue anything because our store was very busy, and I knew she had a boyfriend, but some friendly conversation definitely happened. I knew she at least somewhat liked me because she would always come find me when she visited. Overall, I probably only helped her 4 to 6 times in the 2 years I worked there. My last month working that job, I went out one night for a birthday celebration. At some point, friends of mine were near a VIP area in the bar and accidentally bumped into a small table, knocking a bottle to the floor. The last thing I remember is talking with the bar manager about the situation. He told us we needed to pay for the bottle or leave. We chose to leave, and they walked us out. That is when my memory fades. The next thing I remember, she was in my apartment. We spent the night together, and in the morning, I realized my place was a complete mess. I told her I was embarrassed and that I did not remember much until waking up. I offered to drive her home because I was almost late for work. She said she would visit me at the store later, which she did. I never told anyone at work what happened. After she left, I never spoke to her again. A few weeks later, we went back downtown to some of the same bars. All night, several bartenders and staff came up to me, greeting me and saying I should try not to get too wild like the other night with the brunette, and that I should not be making a scene at the bar like before. Story 11. It was the last week of a college tradition in my fraternity. We were required to wear suits all week and carry large food boxes instead of backpacks. After the week was over, we all...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All celebrated at the house. After several days with almost no sleep, it did not take much for us to feel the effects of the evening. I did not make it back to my dorm after we finished. Instead, I ended up sleeping behind a couch in the basement of a random dorm on the way back. I must have been asleep for close to 10 hours. I woke up that evening to a group of people studying at a table near me. They could not see me. From the amount of study materials on the table, they had probably been there for hours. Those students then watched a man in a suit stand up from behind a couch they had been next to for hours and walk away with his food box. Story 12. I woke up to a loud knock on the door. I was in bed with my girlfriend at the time. I called out to see if anyone else in the apartment would answer. One of my three roommates did. It was the police. They came in, and the four of us gathered in the living room to find out what was going on. One officer told us someone had called them. It was around 7 in the morning, and we were all asleep, so we were confused. They looked around but did not find anything unusual. One person was asleep on the sofa, holding onto a trash can, so he could not have made the call. One officer asked dispatch to call the number back, and we heard a phone ringing inside our apartment. We found it, and it was the number that had called them. The phone belonged to a friend visiting for the weekend, but he was nowhere to be found. His wallet was there, so we thought he might be in a holding facility. We spent most of the day playing games and waiting. A cab arrived later, and he stepped out, saying he had no idea what happened. Apparently, he called for help because he was confused, then left the apartment and wandered off before eventually finding his way back. Story 13. It was a rough period during my second year at university. I was visiting back home after developing some bad habits while away. For some reason, those visiting back home stories always seemed to be the wildest. I ended up going to a small gathering at a friend's house whose parents were away for the weekend. It was my ex, a few mutual friends, and some new faces. My ex had also brought along her best friend, an exchange student, to meet everyone. I decided I was going to be overly confident and challenge myself with too many energy drinks mixed with spirits. I made it through two, and by this time I was already feeling lightheaded, but I kept going. The visiting friend wasn't drinking much, but I could tell my ex was already a little annoyed with my behavior. Then someone suggested a party game. We played a card game where each card has a rule. Some made people drink. Others made people remove an accessory, and some added to a shared mystery cup in the middle. Whoever drew the last special card had to finish that cup. I drew the first card that added to the cup, so in went my energy drink mix. Later, someone added cheap red wine. Then someone poured in cream liqueur. The mixture began to foam in a strange way. Eventually, I drew the last card, and the cup was pushed toward me. I laughed, added another strong drink to it for good measure, and finished it in one go. From there, everything went blank. When I came to, I was in my own bed, 100 miles away from the party. I looked at my arm and saw a hospital tag. My head hurt, I had a bucket nearby, and there were so many bruises I couldn't find a comfortable position. My father walked in, looked at me with clear disappointment, shook his head, and left. I couldn't eat for a day. Later, I was told what happened. After finishing the drink, I started coughing. Someone handed me water, and I refused it. I stumbled toward the stairs but decided to fall backward, hitting my head on the banister. Friends rushed me to the bathroom to check on me. I tried to be sick but fell backward again, hitting the shower head, the wall, and the bath. One friend swore they heard a crack. Meanwhile, the host of the party began to panic. I apparently tried to calm her, but ended up getting sick on her bed, which led her to call an ambulance. When it arrived, I was outside holding my boxers for some reason. I spotted a flagpole next door and decided to hang them on it, encouraging everyone to salute before losing my balance again. The paramedics put me in a special chair and loaded me into the ambulance. A friend asked to come along, saying he didn't care about me, but had never been in an ambulance before and was curious. Others followed by car. My ex came too, along with her friend, who was still unsettled by the evening. At the hospital, I was sick again. The doctor asked if I understood what was happening, and I apparently responded, "Oh dear, I am such a fool." The doctor kept me for 30 minutes before deciding I had emptied my system and could go home to rest. Then came the big question. Where should I go? My friends could have taken me back to the party or to my ex's place, but for some reason I insisted they call my father at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday to drive 100 miles to get me. They agreed and then left before he arrived, so there I was. No memory of the events, hospital tag still on, bruises everywhere, unable to eat, with a disappointed father, an ex whose friend probably would never visit again, and friends who posted pictures of my boxers on that flagpole with everyone saluting. Story 14. I woke up in a hospital with nothing but a bathing suit. I was covered in sensor pads and had no idea how I got there. I didn't have a phone, wallet, glasses, or shoes. Just one thing, a bathing suit. I didn't know anybody's number, so I called my own house. I had been hosting a big party the night before, and luckily people were still there and came to get me. A little background, I had organized a large birthday party for a friend who loved Michael Jackson. About 15 of us dressed as zombies, complete with makeup, and learned the Thriller dance. When he arrived, we threw a replica of the jacket from the video on him, turned on the music, and performed. We even had a smoke machine, and it was perfect. I had convinced him to learn the dance weeks earlier, telling him we would perform it at a friend's wedding, which was partly true. After the performance, it turned into a regular party with swimming, music, and fun. There were all kinds of people there, including an illusionist and a semi-pro fighter. At one point, some people started mixing drinks in unusual ways and even set the counter on fire briefly. I had too much of a mix of caffeine, alcohol, and other things, and eventually felt unwell in the backyard. Someone called for an ambulance, and when asked if I was dangerous, my friend, while not thinking clearly, said probably. That brought both the police and the ambulance. The police spoke French, and apparently when I try to speak French under stress, I use strong language, which made them more cautious. When the paramedics arrived, the first people they saw were in zombie costumes, unsure who needed help. It was August, not a typical time of year for a zombie scene. Story 15. Two stories come to mind. First, a house party that lasted about a week. I was woken up by a friend saying there was a delivery for me. I opened the door and was handed a carton full of boxes of noodles. I had no idea why. Later, I found out that the day before, we had tried to cook noodles in the microwave and completely ruined them. For some reason, we called the company to complain. Apparently, we made such an impression that they sent us replacement noodles overnight. The next morning, we were all eating them, still confused. The second, a friend and I went out for the evening and woke up the next morning in a strange house, in opposite corners of a bright pink bedroom filled with fluffy decorations. Two women came in, very cheerful, and said they were making breakfast. My friend and I exchanged looks, and without speaking much, decided to leave quickly. We got dressed, slipped out the front door, and realized we were just a few houses down from where we lived. It was a clean getaway, but we saw them around the neighborhood afterward, and the looks they gave us made our friends laugh every time. Story 16. This happened in high school at a friend's farm, about 45 minutes from the nearest town. There were fields and trees in every direction, and it was going to be a loud night. There were the usual wild antics, people playing with fireworks, jumping in the pool, and someone inevitably running around without clothes. I expected to wake up under the kitchen table like usual after a party there, but not this time. The last thing I remember was talking to a girl visiting from out of town. When I woke up, it was pitch black and extremely hot. It felt like I was lying on carpet, but there was no light at all. I stood up, hit my head on the ceiling, and started feeling around. I found a latch above me. I tried to open it, but something heavy was blocking the way. Eventually, I pushed through and climbed out. It was still dark, but I realized I was inside a boat on a neighbor's farm. Apparently, during the night, I had decided I needed a boat to impress people, so I walked until I found one and climbed in. I ended up nearly overheating in the summer sun and spent a week piecing together the events. To this day, there are still gaps in the story, but it remains the strangest wake-up of my life. Story 17. This will probably get overlooked, but I used to host a lot of gatherings at my mom's house after high school and during college, since she traveled often. One morning after a particularly wild one, I woke up feeling completely refreshed, which was unusual considering the kind of drinks we usually had. I sat up in bed and put my contacts in, noticing that I must have fallen asleep in my clothing. Then it hit me. I had no memory of how the night ended. As I stood up, I realized something strange. My boxers were missing. How could I be wearing my dress shirt and jeans from the night before, but not my boxers? Worse, they were nowhere to be found. I searched my room, but they had vanished. Only one friend was still there, a coworker. I hesitated but had to ask, "So, have you seen my boxers?" He laughed but didn't know either. With work in just over an hour, I began searching everywhere. Bedrooms, couch cushions, porch, yard. Nothing. They were gone, so I went to work. About 6 hours later, my mom called, sounding unusually serious. She asked what happened the night before. Not wanting to admit I had a large gathering, I said I just had a few friends over. She wanted me home after work to talk. When I got home, she led me to the laundry room and pointed at the washing machine. Inside was the missing pair of boxers, in terrible condition. But that wasn't all. She took me to her bathroom, where I was shocked to see the wall had been badly soiled. I couldn't help laughing at the absurdity of the situation, and eventually she laughed too. To this day, I can only guess what happened. I probably woke up feeling sick, ran to the nearest bathroom, and things went wrong in every possible way. I must have tried to clean it, but clearly I wasn't very effective. Story 18. A couple of friends and I were spending a night out in London. We started at a girl's house, where my friends and a couple of her friends were hanging out. One of her friends was dating the DJ at the club we were going to, which meant we ended up with free bottle service and a booth. For context, I was engaged then, and I don't usually drink heavily anymore. But these friends were my old college roommates, and we slipped back into our usual habits. At the club, there was a woman showing me a lot of attention. I didn't encourage it, but I also didn't want to be rude. We were all dancing and having fun, but the more persistent she became, the more I decided to step away. I went to sit in the booth to relax, but she took that as an invitation to join me. I left and went to get myself a drink instead. After that drink, the night became a blur. The next thing I remember, I woke up in the garden of the local stadium at about 5 in the morning, with no phone, no wallet, and no idea how I got there. It took me a while to even process the situation. I walked until I found a familiar part of town and eventually made my way home, arriving at 8:30 a.m. Looking back, I'm just grateful I still had my shoes. Walking home without them would have been a lot worse. Story 19. I arrived at a bar already in a good mood from earlier. I chatted with a girl for a bit before excusing myself to the bathroom. When I came back, there were two drinks on the table. The place wasn't busy, so I assumed the second drink was for me. I was wrong, but I only found that out after taking a huge gulp. That's the last thing I remember. I woke up in a strange bed, my phone showing texts like, "Where are you?" and "We're leaving. Good luck." I heard the sound of someone breathing beside me. None of my clothes were on, and then I heard, "So you're finally awake? Want to watch Deathly Hallows?" The person next to me looked exactly like the kind of person who would proudly wear Hogwarts clothing. Sure, I guess, I said, still trying to understand where I was. She put the movie on and told me I had complained about being cold on the way home, that we met at a different bar than where I had the first drink, and that I was a blanket hog. Still disoriented, I agreed to her idea of breakfast. We went to Five Guys. Yes, for breakfast. After eating, I said I needed to get going, and she asked if I didn't want to finish the movie. I said I had to get to my brother's for a barbecue. She offered to drive me to the train station, which was great since I had no idea where it was. To my surprise, she drove over the bridge to New Jersey from Philadelphia, straight to a station near my house. On the way, she pointed at places and said, "I'd love to go on a date there. No one has ever taken me." I thanked her for the ride, still unsure how the night had taken such a strange turn. Story 20. I woke up partially dressed in the bed of a pickup truck, 2 hours from home, and it was raining. In high school, I had an ID that let me buy drinks for others whenever there were parties. I rarely stayed for them, but a girl I liked was going to a large outdoor gathering, so I went. The event was on a farm owned by someone's family. I bought what others requested, plus a bottle for myself. I finished it far too quickly. I don't remember anything else from that night until I woke up in that truck bed. The truck was parked at a house deep in the woods. It was about 6 a.m., and I had my watch but little else. I knocked on the door, and a woman answered, looking very surprised. After I explained, she gave me some clothes and called her son, who turned out to be the truck's owner. He had been at the same gathering and apparently drove home without realizing I was in the back. His mom drove me back to the field. My vehicle and clothes were still there exactly as I left them, neatly folded with the keys placed on the seat. Story 21. I threw a big party in my barn when I was 18 while my parents were away. There were around 100 people there. I don't remember the end of the night, but I woke up at dawn on my couch, wearing only boxers, with a blood-soaked bandana tied around my neck, cartoons playing on the TV, a half-eaten pizza on my chest, and a loud beeping filling the room. The place was full of smoke because another frozen pizza was burning in the oven. As I scrambled to deal with it, I heard banging at the door. It was my friend who had left the party earlier. He asked if I wanted to hang out on the porch, and we did, until we realized I had locked us out. We ended up breaking in through the bathroom window on the second floor. The night was chaotic, but it's still remembered as one of the best parties we ever had. Story 22. My best friend and I decided to have a big night at my place. After several hours of straight whiskey, we both passed out. When I woke up, it felt like the moment when you first step out of Vault 101 in Fallout 3. Complete chaos. It smelled bad, and I realized we had left spring rolls in the oven for 4 hours at 200 degrees Celsius. Next to me was a bucket full of vomit, and my brand new pack of cigarettes was empty, yet the ashtray was clean. My friend was nowhere in sight, so I went to the living room. The window was wide open, and outside on the grass, I saw most of my cigarettes broken and wet. I checked the bathroom. Everything in a 2-meter radius of the toilet was a mess. Still no sign of my friend, so I went upstairs. In my room, he was lying half naked on my bed, drooling on my brand new suit, surrounded by empty beer bottles. I woke him up, but like me, he couldn't remember anything. We went to the living room to watch TV, and on the way, he disappeared again. I found him passed out in the kitchen, still with no memory of how he got there. Story 23. I was out at a bar with friends when, after a Jaeger bomb, I realized I needed to get home immediately. My best friend's husband offered to take me. The next morning, I woke up lying across my bed the short way, completely undressed, which I never do, and I called for my husband to help me find my glasses. He found them in the bathtub. He told me that when he got home, I had been kneeling beside the bed with my head resting on the mattress, so he put me to bed. Then he asked me to come downstairs. I saw that there was a trail of clothing from the front door to the bathroom. Apparently, I had started taking everything off as soon as I got home. Later, I told my best friend the story. She said her husband had dropped me off but left before I started removing anything, and he was actually disappointed he missed the rest of the scene. Story 24. It was the 4th of July, and I was having a barbecue at my apartment. Only my girlfriend, a good friend, and I were there. We decided to celebrate anyway. As it got dark, we went to a nearby park to light fireworks. There was a picnic table by a big pond and an open parking lot. We sat there drinking and lighting fireworks in the parking area. The girls decided to go swimming in the pond. I stayed out, watching from the picnic table. After a while, they got out and we sat drinking some more. On the walk back, my girlfriend suddenly said she felt something dripping on her foot. She looked down to see a large gash across the top, bleeding heavily. We made jokes about it being the start of a zombie apocalypse, but then everything went black for me. I woke up alone in my bed, with work in 30 minutes. The bathroom looked like a crime scene, the bathtub filled with red water up to the rim, bloody towels everywhere. No messages on my phone, I texted my friend. No reply. Later, I learned what happened after my blackout. We had debated calling 911, but instead went back to my apartment. I went to bed immediately. My girlfriend got into the tub, poured vodka over the wound to try to clean it, then realized it needed medical help. She wrapped it with paper towels and tape, drove herself to her ex-boyfriend's house, and he took her to the ER. She had severed a tendon and still has a scar and limited movement in that toe. When I met her after work, we went back to the park. All signs of our night were gone, except for a faint ring of blood around the picnic table that someone had tried to clean. Story 25. One Friday during the summer, I was feeling bored when my sister invited me to a party she was going to. She's in college and I was still in high school. At first, I didn't want to go. I was shy, but she eventually convinced me. At the party, after building up some courage, I met some people and started mingling. Everyone there was drinking like it was the last day on earth. I joined in, having one drink after another. About 45 minutes in, a girl invited me to her room. I walked upstairs with her, opened the door for her, and the next thing I knew, I woke up 16 hours later in a field about 3 miles away from campus. I was alone and more confused than scared. I had arrived wearing jeans, a t-shirt, and sneakers. I woke up wearing a top hat, a thong, and a bow tie. My shirt was gone, I was barefoot, and I only had my left sock. All my original clothes, except the sock, were gone. I also had more money in my wallet than I had started with, about $1,000 more. To this day, I have no idea what happened that night. I never drank again. Story 26. I woke up in the first-class cabin of an airplane headed for San Antonio. I was a freshman in college in Miami, Florida. It was the Friday before spring break, and I was supposed to catch a flight out of Miami International at 6 a.m. on Saturday. Around 10 p.m., I was packing when my friends came to my room and said we were going out. We started drinking beer around 11 p.m. and kept going until the bars closed at 2 a.m. Then we went to an after-hours spot and had more drinks for the next couple of hours. Around 4:30 a.m., I realized my ride to the airport was leaving at 5, so we rushed back to the dorm. On the way, I got sick in my friend's car. He helped me inside, got me changed, and loaded me into another friend's rental car. On the way to the airport, I got sick again in the rental car. My friend dropped me off at the shuttle to the terminal, and that's the last thing I remember. I don't remember going through the airport or boarding the plane. I woke up 20 minutes before landing in San Antonio, sitting in first class with the whole row to myself. I reached for an airsick bag and filled it, but before I could fold it up, a flight attendant brought me a pitcher of water and swapped it out. I asked how I ended up in first class, and she said I had boarded a flight an hour earlier than my scheduled one, and they upgraded me. I didn't get to enjoy it because I slept through the entire trip. The worst part was arriving an hour before my parents. I sat in the airport still feeling awful. When they arrived, I tried to tell them I had the flu, but my dad took one look at me, laughed, and said, "You're hungover." Then they made me walk around the Alamo all day. Story 27. When I was a senior in college, I woke up one very cold January morning and found myself in my newly official girlfriend's room. I was sweating and wearing my puffy blue coat, but couldn't find my phone. I normally kept it in the pocket of my coat, so I checked there. When I put my hand in my pocket, I felt these crumbly objects. Turns out they were cheddar cheese combos and lots of them. Confused and wondering where my phone was, I started looking around the room, which woke up my girlfriend. She has a sharp eye for detail, so she quickly noticed the fact that there were combos all over the floor in a sort of trail leading to the door. We followed the trail out into the hall where it continued, although more spottily, all the way to the front door of the dorm building. We kept following it out into the courtyard, into about 6 inches of snow, where it ended right at a hammock. And by some miracle, there was my phone, still working after sitting in the snow for at least a few hours, along with a wildly torn open empty bag of combos. After talking with friends, I was able to piece together what happened. I had gone out drinking, ran down the street to get some combos, decided that eating them out of the bag was too much effort, so I tore the bag open and dumped them into my coat pocket. I got back to the dorm but passed out in the hammock for a few hours, in temperatures in the upper 20s that night, before waking up and making it to my girlfriend's room. Story 28. I know this story doesn't make me look good, but I allow myself one day of completely irresponsible drinking once a year. This is the story of 2012. I drove my best friend and myself to a video game-themed birthday party on Cinco de Mayo at a restaurant bar in Los Angeles. I live about 30 miles away. I was dressed up as a Moogle. After a few glasses of whiskey and a lot of cocktails, I ended up in the bathroom trying to recover my composure. I always think that will work, but my vision started getting hazy, and from here on out, I can only remember bits and pieces. I fell asleep on the bathroom floor and woke up to the stall door being opened, with employees of the place standing over me, figuring out how to deal with the situation. They asked where I was from, and I told them. I remember a male voice offering to drive me home and asking if he could look in my purse for my ID to get my address. I remember being put into a car, and the next thing I knew, I was in my own bed, my red nose makeup rubbed off, one costume wing still pinned on, and the other lying in the hallway. It was mid-afternoon the next day. I woke up not knowing where my car was, how I got home, or where my best friend was, and also wondering about the mysterious brown-green stain on my white shorts. As I pieced the night together, I realized I had no idea who drove me home. I knew it was a man, but a stranger. Considering nothing was stolen and nothing bad happened, I was puzzled but grateful. He had left no contact information, so I could thank him. I called my best friend, who told me she had been found by my boss at the party, and they had stayed at a mutual friend's apartment in the city. I drove her car back to Los Angeles to pick her up and get my valet-parked car, paid the overnight fee, and drove home, still hungover. I spent the entire week at work trying to figure out who drove me home. Maybe it was a friend? No, they all said they would have told me. Finally, I called the restaurant to solve the mystery. They told me it was the manager, who had a reputation for being a good person. I spoke to him and learned he lived 40 miles from me. He said he has three sisters and would want them treated the same way. I told him he restored my faith in humanity and brought him cookies as thanks. Story 29. I woke up in my apartment, rushing to get ready for work, and saw a couple of friends sleeping, one on the floor and one on the sofa. As I crawled out of bed, I noticed I was still fully clothed, but one pant leg was missing, ripped off. My arms were sore and covered with cuts, but there was no blood anywhere. Small flashes from the night before came to mind, but I couldn't piece anything together. I remembered that I hadn't planned to drink much because I had work the next day, just a couple of beers, and then one drink I had chugged before leaving for the club. Months later, I finally learned what happened. That drink I chugged had been half a liter of pure Bacardi, and somehow I couldn't taste it. At the club, I became paranoid and decided to escape by jumping a fence, getting stuck, and ripping my pants while cutting my arms. The reason there was no blood on me was because a kind woman had found me wandering and bleeding. She took me home, cleaned me up, and sent me on my way. Story 30. I've had a long list of strange wake-ups. I woke up deep in the woods of Wisconsin with mustard all over my face and an empty mustard bottle beside me. I woke up after passing out early on Halloween with two women I had never met, dressed as space aliens, telling me they were going to take care of me. They were laughing the whole time. I woke up in my parents' basement covered in vomit and empty beer cans with the oven on. When I looked inside, there was a skateboard with an eggplant on it. I woke up in a busy restaurant in San Francisco with a six-pack of beer on the table in front of me. Everyone ignored me until I simply got up and left. I woke up in a friend's apartment wearing a dress, pantyhose, hair barrettes, and full makeup, next to one of my best male friends dressed exactly the same. The last thing I remembered was going to a book reading with a head full of acid and a bottle of bourbon in my backpack. I woke up in the back seat of a car full of strangers headed to a Pointer Sisters concert. I woke up several times in Minnesota. I do not live in Minnesota. I woke up in a public park on a summer day with a frisbee being thrown back and forth over me, one thrower being a woman in a bikini and the other a muscular guy as if I wasn't even there. Story 31. My best friend who lived in Indiana, I'm in Philadelphia, wrote me a letter to let me know she was spending time with her ex-fiancé again. Before things went too far, she wanted to make sure the little fling we had was actually over and wouldn't lead to anything. I loved her, but I worried I could never give her the attention she deserved in a long-term relationship because of my career. Faced with this dilemma, I began drinking. I woke up to the sound of flowing water and bright sunlight. I was lying in a gazebo overlooking Boathouse Row and the Schuylkill River. My wallet, cell phone, and keys were resting on my chest. I realized I had also somehow sprained my ankle. I hobbled to the road, caught a taxi to a pharmacy, bought ACE bandages and ibuprofen, then drank some water. I called her and asked her to move to Philadelphia from Indiana. That was 3 years ago. Next year, to make our parents happy, have an excuse for a big dance party, and receive some new kitchen appliances, we'll probably get married. I'm in my last year of medical school, and the few hours outside the hospital I have are spent with her. I don't know how I ever thought I could live without her by my side. Sometimes unexpected mornings make you realize what truly matters. Story 32. This is about my housemate who often drank heavily. This past Sunday, my friend and I returned from grocery shopping to find him sitting in the living room, drinking alone, and playing the original Halo campaign on normal difficulty. He was making no progress. After an hour of watching him lose repeatedly, we decided to take over and play with two other housemates. Around 10 p.m., one of our friends needed to get their keys from the library on the main floor. Inside, we found water leaking from the ceiling. Knowing the plumbing sometimes had issues, we suspected the second floor sink. It was fine, but that ceiling was also leaking. On the third floor, we found the shower running at full blast with the curtain outside the tub. We called out, but got no response. Pulling the curtain aside, we found him curled up in the tub. He asked for a towel, and when one of us went to his room, they found the floor in bad shape from an earlier mess caused by overdrinking. After failing to leave the tub, he denied causing any of the flooding. We told him to clean up and rest, but 20 minutes later, he stumbled downstairs with two more beers, which we took away. Later, we realized he had taken the shower because of an accident he had while intoxicated. Story 33. A guy I knew in college once told me a shocking story. He and a friend went exploring in the woods in Central Oregon while under the influence of hallucinogenic mushrooms. They imagined they saw a troll sleeping in the woods and decided to catch it. They got some bungee cords from their car, tied it up, put it in their trunk, and took it back to their cabin. They placed it in the closet and left some dog food nearby. The next day, as the effects wore off, they remembered their troll and went to check. Instead of finding nothing, they discovered an 8 or 9-year-old girl tied up in the closet, terrified, with dog food scattered on the floor. They managed to get her home phone number and called, prepared to explain. The parents' reaction was not what they expected. They were overjoyed and thanked them repeatedly, explaining she had been missing for 5 days. They returned her safely, leaving out certain details about how they had found her. Story 34. I went to a friend's wedding in a small farming town, and there was an open bar. The bartenders were serving very generously all night, eventually just handing bottles of liquor to guests who came back often. I honestly don't remember feeling myself get drunk, but that's usually how it happens. After I blacked out, I apparently stayed around the reception for a while. There are a few photos of me looking quite unsteady among the guests. At some point, I wandered away from the reception into the dark, empty farm fields and roads. A couple of friends tried to look for me, but the search was almost impossible. The sun had gone down, and the surroundings were nothing but miles of fields and scattered roads. Someone managed to speak with me a few times on my cell phone, but my descriptions were useless. There's a fence and some dirt on the other side. The last call ended with me saying, "Uh-oh," before the phone went dead. I have no memory of what happened next. I woke up in one of the rooms at the farm on a decorative bed. I had gotten mud and dirt all over, and it had apparently rained during the night. My phone was missing, and even though Find My iPhone was active, it didn't work, likely due to water damage. I walked the 6 miles to the hotel where my friends and other guests were staying and ran into my search party as they were about to head out. They drove me back to the farm to look for my phone. The owners were relieved I was fine, and when I offered to pay for any damages to the room, they seemed surprised, saying all the farm doors are always locked. There were no signs of forced entry. To this day, I have no idea how I made it back to the farm safely or how I got inside. Story 35. A few years ago on New Year's Day, I woke up to the police standing over me. I was asleep on a park bench wearing a full evening outfit. They were concerned for my well-being, but eventually let me go. The park turned out to be just a few blocks from my apartment. When I got home, my flatmate was asleep in bed, holding a city park trash bin under one arm. He seemed even more confused than I was, and to this day insists I'm the one who brought it home. I think he might have just been lonely and found it for company. The following New Year's Day, I woke up on the floor of an unfamiliar living room with a splitting headache and no clothes in sight. I found a blanket, covered myself, and wandered through the apartment trying to figure out where I was. A young woman appeared, clearly irritated, asking where I had disappeared to the night before. She didn't seem in the mood to chat, so I quickly gathered my things and left. I never saw her again. Story 36. I went to bed, or at least I thought I did, at my friend's studio apartment in West Hollywood, Los Angeles. I was wearing jeans, flats, a blouse, my watch, glasses, and a necklace. The apartment had no pool and didn't allow pets. I woke up around noon the next day in Bakersfield, 2 hours away, in a room with French doors leading to a pool. I was wearing a swimsuit that wasn't mine, my glasses and clothes were gone, and there was a Weimaraner dog lying on top of me while someone's mother asked if anyone wanted pancakes. The feeling of waking up in a completely unfamiliar house is strange enough, but waking up in a different city was something else entirely. My clothes, watch, and necklace were never found. My glasses were back at my friend's apartment in LA, along with my car, purse, and all my ID. Apparently, another friend picked us up after work, and we went to someone's house in Bakersfield who still lived with his parents. I have no memory of any of this happening. Story 37. Mine aren't too crazy, but I find them funny. After I returned home on New Year's, I quickly passed out in my bed. I woke up the next morning and everything appeared normal. I went to sit at my computer to start gaming, and as soon as I sat down, I realized my chair was soaked. I quickly stood up and gave the seat cushion a quick smell. At some point during the night, I confused the chair for a toilet and urinated all over it. I wouldn't consider that scenario weird as much as I would hilarious. Another incident, which involved me actually waking up during the strange scenario, happened when my father was away on a business trip. After a fun night of drinking, I took a taxi home and went to sleep in my own bed. Around 2 hours later, I got up to use the bathroom and then proceeded to my parents' room. My mother woke up when she heard me standing in front of the room. After I stood there for a while, I walked to my father's side of the bed and grabbed the covers. My mom said, "Glegas, what are you doing?" My response was jumbled according to her, and she repeated, "Glegas, I have no problem with you sleeping here, but you're about to get into bed with your mother." Finally, I managed to speak clearly and said, "What are you talking about? This is my room." She told me it wasn't, and I looked at her confused before walking back to my room, where I slept without waking up for the rest of the night. She asked the next day if I remembered coming into her room. The only thing I remember is trying to convince my mom that it was my own bed and room. Everything else is a blur. Story 38. Not a proud moment, but I woke up to pipe organ music that sounded as though it was blaring in my head. I found myself on the floor behind a pulpit in a church I'd never been in before. I was scared to move because I had no idea what was going on or how I got there. I had no shoes and my feet were hurting badly. When I sat up, I looked directly at a lady playing the organ, and she screamed. A man came running from somewhere on the other side, startled when he saw me. They both tried to talk to me and offer help. The man helped me stand up, and my feet were covered in cuts and bruises, as if I had run through rocks and glass, with a nasty cut above my left ankle. The lady helped me to the bathroom so I could clean up. To my horror, when I looked in the mirror, I saw what appeared to be dried blood streaked across my face, neck, and upper chest. I had leaves and twigs knotted in my hair. It was most definitely a shocking moment. I called a friend and had the lady explain where I was so he could pick me up. He was freaked out because several friends had been out all night searching the woods for me near a creek where we had been partying when they lost me. I don't remember a creek or leaving the house. It turned out I had drunk nearly a full bottle of tequila while also being on pain medication for my back. We assumed I had marked myself with my own blood. The church I was at was almost 8 miles from the creek. How I managed to walk that far in the dark, while intoxicated, still confuses me. What puzzled us even more was that the shirt I was wearing didn't belong to me or anyone I had been with, and I had chicken nuggets squished in one jeans pocket and a harmonica in the other, along with a set of unknown keys on a Hard Rock Vegas key ring. The keys appeared to be for a house and a car. I don't eat chicken nuggets. Nobody recalls going anywhere to get them. I'd never owned a harmonica, and those keys still remain a mystery to this day. Story 39. I was taking shots with a guy I had just met at a bar. Apparently, I had way too many and woke up the next day in a religious temple in another city. We had shown up the night before and caused a mess inside, so I spent the morning helping them clean up and apologizing over and over. That guy from the bar was nowhere to be found. When I asked about him, they told me I had drunkenly mentioned some small farming town nearby. I made my way to that town and started asking around. Some people were clearly upset to see me. I apologized and asked what I had done, because I didn't remember anything. They told me I had stolen one of their animals and sold it to someone. I tracked that person down and got their goat back. They appreciated it, but they still didn't want me hanging around. I asked if I had mentioned the guy from the bar, and they told me I said he was getting something for my fiancé. The problem was I didn't have a girlfriend, let alone a fiancé. A farmer told me this guy had been looking for rings in the next town over, so I went there. I visited a couple of jewelry shops before finding the one I had apparently been in the night before. The owner wasn't happy to see me. Apparently, I hadn't paid full price for a ring, and I had begged and pleaded until they lowered it. Embarrassed, I paid the rest of the costs and asked if they knew anything about a wedding, a fiancé, or the man I was with. They pointed me toward a nearby church where I was supposedly getting married soon. I went to the church and walked inside. I passed a few people standing around and came to a small set of stairs. When I reached the top, a huge ball of light appeared in front of me. I stepped into it and found myself in a little meadow. Down a path, I saw my friend sitting at a huge table with several other people eating. Then he transformed into the Daedric Prince, Sanguine, who told me he had enjoyed the previous night and wanted to reward me. He handed me the Sanguine Rose and sent me back home. Story 40. One morning after a terrible night of binge drinking, I woke up to the sound of loud banging at the door. I was living in a student house with two roommates. My room and one roommate's room were right by the front door. He was a big guy, about 6'2", around 230 pounds, and used to play competitive hockey. I was too hungover to move, so I figured he would answer it. He was just as hungover and assumed I would get it. Our third roommate, whose room was upstairs, finally came down and opened the door. Standing there was a woman clearly in distress, shouting and trying to push her way inside. My upstairs roommate managed to keep her out, but she kept yelling at him. Apparently, I was still passed out the entire time, and the other guy just stayed in bed laughing while listening to the commotion. Eventually, our upstairs roommate slammed the door shut and locked it. The woman then spent the next few hours alternating between sitting and standing on our front lawn, yelling at students on their way to class. She finally wandered off sometime after noon. Story 41. The morning after my 19th birthday, I woke up in a hospital wearing a men's diaper and wrapped in caution tape. It had been my birthday, so my friends and I decided to throw an ABC party, anything but clothes, to celebrate mine and another friend's birthday. My outfit was a diaper, partly as a joke and partly because I figured I'd probably pass out somewhere. I didn't expect that two of my friends, who are now my roommates, would also buy a large bottle of Sky Eye vodka. We started drinking and playing a massive 28-cup liquor pong game, which got us completely obliterated. I blacked out right after. The next thing I remember was waking up in a hospital bed, still in my diaper and caution tape. The nurses said I must have fallen at some point and warned me not to drink so much. When I reached up, I realized I had stitches on the side of my head. The doctor handed me the number of that girl you were with, though I had no idea who she was. I called her and found out I knew her vaguely. She had my medical card and said she'd come pick me up. Still slightly drunk and probably concussed, I got bored within minutes and walked out of the hospital in just my gown and diaper. It was October in Montreal, about 2 degrees Celsius, and I walked a mile back to my dorm like that. Meanwhile, the girl had shown up at the hospital looking for me. The nurses assumed I had just gone outside for a smoke, since I kept my cigarettes in a caution tape pocket on the diaper. Over the next few days, I pieced the night together. After liquor pong, I played another smaller game, funneled vodka from a skull-shaped scunnel, and went to that girl's room to hang out. At some point, I started to lose my balance, grabbed her lamp for support, and ended up spinning it in wide circles until it fell. I went down with it, hitting my head on her nightstand. That explained the stitches. Even with all that, my brother was in town for Halloween and my birthday, so we kept celebrating for the rest of the weekend. Story 42. This reminds me of something that happened a few years back. It wasn't me, but a friend of mine, and I'll tell it as it unfolded to me for extra dramatic effect. At the time, I was still in school and working weekends in a shop. There was a guy and a girl from a nearby village who also worked weekends there. One Saturday, they told us they were both going to a party in a pub that evening. The guy, let's call him Jason, because that's his name, was particularly excited because he was off the next day and didn't have to worry about working hungover. The next day at work, I asked the girl how the party went. She said it was good, but she was a bit worried about Jason. Apparently, about half an hour after they arrived, he went outside for a smoke and told her he'd be back in a few minutes. A while later, she realized he hadn't returned, so she went outside, but there was no sign of him. She called him, and he told her that while outside, he saw a couple getting into a taxi and decided to join them for fun. Unfortunately, this couple was going home to an even smaller village, which had no fun at all. He told her he was in this tiny village and was about to ring for a taxi to return to the party. After half an hour, she still hadn't seen him, so she tried calling again, but his phone was switched off. She hadn't been able to reach him since. Naturally, we were a little concerned, but we stayed optimistic. Fast forward to the next weekend. I saw Jason at work with no signs of injury. He told me that he remembered being in the small village and hearing music from a nearby house as he was about to call a taxi. He investigated, found there was a party, and decided to join. That's where his memory ended for the night. The next morning, he woke up on the floor, using a kitchen chair, unsuccessfully, as a blanket, with chocolate biscuits mashed into his chest. As he walked through the house, he passed a broken glass coffee table. He later learned he had fallen through it and went outside. In the front garden, he stopped to observe someone sleeping in the grass, rolled up in a big rug. Story 43. I've been waiting to share this one for a while. A good friend's parents went out of town for Halloween weekend, so he decided to host a massive open house party. A night of costumes and heavy drinking followed. I browned out for most of the night and fully blacked out toward the end. When I finally woke up, I was in complete darkness, inside one of those large 2-foot by 5-foot wicker toy storage containers. When I busted out, I realized I was in the host's little sister's bedroom. In the corner were a set of bunk beds, both occupied. On the top bunk was a friend in a full Legolas costume, complete with bow and arrow, sleeping next to another guy dressed as a hillbilly. The hillbilly's jean overalls were unhooked, and he still had a corncob pipe in his mouth. The bottom bunk had two cheerleaders, face to face, literally planking on one another. Needless to say, everyone woke up laughing and trading wild stories. I had gone to the party dressed as Waldo. Apparently, at one point in the night, I loudly announced, "Find me if you can," and disappeared from the rest of the party. I like to think I won that game. Story 44. In college, I lived just one block from a 24-hour convenience store. I often blacked out and wandered there for snacks in the early hours. One Sunday morning, I woke up to my phone ringing. My hands, mouth, and white shirt were covered in orange Cheetos dust, with Cheetos scattered around my bed and the empty bag on the floor. Clearly, I'd made the snack run the night before. The caller was my mom, inviting me to lunch. Hungover and broke, I jumped at the chance. I showered, put on a clean shirt, and slipped into the same pants I'd worn the night before. They were the cleanest I had. When I got to the restaurant, I realized my mom had also invited my aunt, uncle, a few cousins, and my grandma. Feeling rough, I ate quickly. As I got up to leave, I reached into my pocket for my car keys and felt something strange. I pulled out a hot dog, bun and all. Luckily, my family thought it was hilarious, and we all had a good laugh. Story 45. I was visiting my dad in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. On my first night, I went alone to a bar called Apocalypse. Somehow, I managed to spend about $200 Australian on drinks, even though beers cost $1 each. It was possibly the drunkest I've ever been. I spent the night drinking, dancing, and chatting up women. Then my memory completely blanked. The next thing I knew, I woke up naked in a double bed. A South African woman I didn't know had apparently taken me home. I had no idea where I was, how I got there, or who she was. I didn't have my dad's address or phone number, so I hopped into a taxi and handed the driver $50 Australian, an enormous amount there, to take me back to the city and help me figure out where my dad lived. Eventually, I spotted a bar called Fatty's Sports Bar that looked familiar. I went in for breakfast, and by sheer luck, my dad's best friend walked in. He'd been with me the night before and had promised my dad he'd look after me. He was freaking out, trying to figure out how to find me, and had stopped for a beer to think. Thanks to him, I made it back to my dad's apartment and endured the worst hangover of my life. For the rest of the trip, about 2 weeks, I pretty much repeated that first night, each time ending up with another wild story.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.